again on InterestingNet. I'm the West End, but still Toronto, in Scott's downtown, and I think we both enjoyed it. And at some point, I'll have to move those cans that the filters for our 6-meter repeater. Is it worthy of a picture, or is heliac, like 1-inch diameter casing of heliac, used often as traps and filters in repeaters? Is there any point in posting a picture, or is it all old news?
That's not old news to me, Jim. I'd love to see a picture of that, and if you could mail me a picture of that, and I can then distribute it. Pretty sure that Bernie's website, K2 Yankee Oscar, is a method by which when people go into his website, huntfamily.org, I can't put his exact website now, by way of that website, people during the net can sign into it and get the exact material that we're talking about. So we could get that picture distributed to people who are interested. A 6-meter Lumixing filter built with this technique you're describing, that's brand new to me. I'd like to see it, and I thank you for the offer, Jim. V3JIW, K2RIW.
Okay, well, we have to relocate them because of antenna site issues, and it's an improvement on the move. It'll be slightly improved, actually, so we're going to 30 feet near an airport to top of 15 stories. So, within a couple weeks, I'll get you a picture, go to the site. Maybe move up a cardboard box or two to get a clear shot, and no problems with a Motorola radio in and out. And I think I'll call out a night because many people have things to do in the morning, and I'm guessing you're one of them. I think Scott is still listening in Toronto, but I will say 7-3, and again, it was enjoyable. And hey, you beat out PBS because PBS I can beat. DVR. K2LED. K2LED.
The technique by which you guys built the 6-meter duplexing filter. The people doing that, Jim, were they following a recipe somewhere, or is that something you guys created? Because it's brand new to me. I thought I knew quite a bit of. I've got quite a bit of exposure to radio techniques, and it's a brand new one to me. So is that something you guys locally created, or was somebody following a recipe? I think it's going to be the first. B-J-I-W, K-2-I-W.
I copy the LED station. I'll let you in after. I will check with Dave X, Victor Echo 3, X-ray Delta Sierra, for where he got the ideas. And put something together, and I can probably, it might be worthy, I can probably find a write-up in the MARC communicator or newsletter. Either way, I'll find something about it and include it. I think I'll turn it over to the K2LED station.
Thanks for that offer. LED, go ahead.
K2LED, light emitting down. Good evening, gentlemen. I have been sitting here reading the mail for a couple hours, and it has been the most excellent mail in the inbox. Just want to jump in and say thank you for running this TechNet and for its contributors. There's some great, excellent technical and accurate information. It's refreshing to see good, accurate information versus the non-information dribble that we see every once in a while. But just wanted to jump in here and say thank you, 7-3s, to everyone that put this together and to the contributors. And to the folks that are checking in. The name here is Bob, K2LED, from Western New York near Tonawanda, and I am listening off of the Mississauga repeater at 145 430.
Farm LED, I copy you at 45S units direct. Sitting in my car in Etobicoke near the lake, but go ahead.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I'm off the high antenna. But, hey, I just want to jump in here. Great venue. Great, great venue. I hooked one of my rigs that was on high antenna and threw it into crossband mode and put an HT on my waist. And I've been listening to you for a couple hours. My crossband rig, even though it's running at 5 watts, it's running pretty hot. Great stuff. You hear so much misinformation, and here tonight, it's clear, concise, good stuff. The correct theory and the correct practical implications.
K2LD, K2LIW. That's quite a testimonial, Bob. Thank you. It looks like your particular repeater is also repeating this particular net. This net didn't happen overnight. You're listening to the 30th year of this net. It's slowly been developing in the New York City area over that period of time. And the subjects discussed are only the function of the questions being asked. Very rarely do we have a canned program. So tonight, where guys ask interesting questions, and we got the smart people in the tri-state area or other areas who signed in are giving us answers. And some nights it's a little slower and a little bit more boring. No guarantee. But the price is right, and it looks like it's getting wider and wider coverage. I'm kind of amazed by that, how wide coverage is getting. Thank you. Bye-bye, and we'll try to keep doing it. And you think that everything you heard is accurate. Be careful now. These engineers, these hams, none of it that powers, you know what I mean? There's a certain error ratio, but by way of the peer review, you can listen to the last 6.5 years of the TechNet by going to a beautiful website, amateurradio.angle-victor. Amateurradio.angle-victor. KD2NJ and I have been doing that for 6.5 years, and you can listen to the past TechNet. Some of them are pretty good, and some of them are not so good. Function of who signs it and what they're asking and what we discuss. So, goodbye, thank you. You guys downrange, keep you out, I'll be clear for listening.
Good night, Dick. Everyone on the night. 82WQB.
One of New York, over into the Mississauga, Ontario repeater. And we did have somebody throw the call sign out. They didn't catch it. Go ahead, Breaker.
Yeah, that was John. And good night, John Boyd. He's one of our co-net controls. Our co-net control is KC2WGB. That's John. WS2MN, Paul. And me, K2LIW. So these two guys try to keep it all together, but K2LIW clear.
Yeah, and Dick, and thank you very much, Dick, for a wonderful evening. But I think that you don't want to participate after 12. You could have leave the chance for others to discuss the issue, as they might be very much interested with that. And that would not really require a participation. have a good night, and Dick,
yeah. Yeah, good night, John. Always a pleasure. I like today. It wasn't really, it was nice. It was beautiful lecture. It was everything that I like. For me, just little to little. yes, John. It was pretty. Thanks to your questions. Because the questions create the answers, the responses, especially the part that is related to liquids and, eventually next week we have the gases or steady state. There is something. I wonder how many people were really interested with it, but I was, was something that I love, to do. I thank you. Yeah, and also the part was very interesting one. Well, this is a circuit, and you know, that was a brilliant answer, brilliant response as well, although the things are not really very much complicated and pretty much intuitive. Using the word intuitive, I'm not sure if I'm using a proper descriptor for it. But, yes. And so it's there.
Wait for the
people. Yes, John. It's good that I have the echo link because I don't have to do that. What about you? Just trying to let you do that. Yeah. Well, I could consider the last response being educational for me, and I've done a lot of progress. As far as I think, would say, related to the subject matter, I had to train condense myself. Trying to do something, but then the invocation, or say the general part of it, comes a little bit too long, and then you say, hey, you know, yeah, but to the subject, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about the activity. Anyhow, I had in mind that the shooting and shooting materials and but, you know, the BTMF, the bigger funk that you gave me, it's really not that big, because if you have a screen on yourself, or you have something in a Faraday box, that's the protection. So the car appears to be a Faraday box to a certain point, and to it. Yes, I can. I got disconnected from Echo. Okay, no, well, I put it myself. It looks like, I know how to do it, but you switch the...
I do all token at all.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
I delaw token at all.
RC210 repeater controller V5.52. The time is 12:20 a.m. The time is 12:20 a.m.
Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1864, with the release date of May 3rd, 2013, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Region 1 of the International Amateur Radio Union meets in Vienna. A coalition of groups announced it's attempting to arrange a de-expedition to North Korea. The exemption for ham radio remains as part of Hawaii's new distracted driving law. Lots more news on the upcoming Dayton Hamvention and NASA to launch a mission to study equatorial electric storm propagation. Find out details on Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1864 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Vero Beach, Florida, here is Jim Davis, W2JKD.
IARU Region 1 held its interim meeting in Vienna, Austria, the weekend of April the 20th through the 21st. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH of the RSGB News, reports.
HF topics included preparations for the WRC-15, which includes the possibility of a worldwide amateur allocation at 5 MHz. Other proposals included trying to align some of the HF band plans between regions and the de-expedition code of conduct. A number of other papers covered contest matters, support for newcomers via Chota, operation of unmanned stations, and discussion on a possible band plan for the new 472 to 479 kilohertz amateur allocation. The VHF and microwave, there were a total of 34 papers covered, which covered technical operating, band planning and contest matters. Areas of focus were improvements to IARU contests and accommodating digital voice, beacon and TV development. Band plans at 4 metres, 2 metres and 70 cents came under particular scrutiny. Pressure on spectrum, particularly 2.3 gigs, was also discussed. Several topics are expected to be further developed in time for the next Region 1 conference in the autumn of 2014. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, in Nottingham, in the United Kingdom.
The minutes and recommendations of the interim meeting will be published shortly, once approved by the Region 1 Executive Committee. A well-known group of DXers says that they are working on getting permission to operate from North Korea, which is the most wanted DXCC entity in the world. Amateur Radio Newsline's Cheryl Lasek, K9BIK, reports.
The Intrepid DX Group, in partnership with the Worldwide DX Group, says that for the past 4 years that they have been working with professionals in the business and tourism industries who are actively doing business in North Korea. In a widely circulated press statement, the organizations note that they have prepared a comprehensive, multifaceted proposal which has been delivered to the North Korean officials via their emissary located in China. Also, that several members of the combined group's leadership and advisory team have made multiple visits to the region and are advising the overall groups accordingly. The DXers say that they are using the same techniques that were successful in opening up Kurdistan, the South Sudan, and Yemen to the expedition activity. They add that they're leveraging their ideas and contacts towards the goal of a major de-expedition over a 4-week period from within the North Korea border. As we go to air, no date for such an operation to take place has even been speculated. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Essek, K9BIK, in Zion, Illinois.
We'll have more DX-related news later on in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. House Bill number 980, dealing with mobile cellular telephone laws for the state of Hawaii that contain an exemption for mobile ham radio operation, has been transmitted to the governor and is awaiting his signature. Like many other states, the new law in Hawaii states that no person shall operate a motor vehicle while using a mobile electronic device. However, the use of a mobile electronic device for the sole purpose of making a 911 emergency communications is permitted. The Hawaii law provides that no person under 18 years of age can operate a motor vehicle while utilizing a hands-free mobile electronic device, except, once again, for the sole purpose of making a 911 emergency call. According to Ron Ashiro, AH6RH, in addition to radio amateurs, also exempted from the law will be emergency responders using a mobile electronic device while in the performance of their official duties and those operating under FCC Part 90 land mobile radio rules. Not exempted are those using the family radio service, users of the general mobile radio service, citizens band radio operators, marine radio, the aviation band, text messaging, and of course those making non-emergency calls using handheld cellular telephones. Penalties include a fine of not less than $100 and not more than $200 for a first violation. A second violation within that occurs within 1 year brings with it a fine of not less than $200 and not more than $300. For a violation that occurs within 2 years of two prior violations, and for the fourth and each subsequent violation, regardless of when they were committed, a fine of not less than $300 and not more than $500 can be assessed. If signed by the governor, the new Hawaii distracted driving law will take effect on July the 1st. The full text is on the web at tinyurl.com/Hawaii-cell-final. Boston officials did use cellular text messages known as wireless emergency alerts in the aftermath of the Marathon bombings. That's according to Rick Wimberly of alerting consultancy Galien Solutions. The former broadcaster and current consultant to FEMA told Radio World that the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, or MEMA, has the ability and authority to issue imminent threat wireless emergency alert messages, and did so on April the 19th. Specifically, MEMA issued a shelter-in-place order by tweeting out a message to that effect. According to Wimberly, wireless emergency alerts complemented EAS because the text messages remind users to tune in to their local broadcast stations for more detailed information. Now, whether or not the EAS system itself was placed into formal use in the Marathon bombing aftermath is still open to debate. FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai says that if the FCC proceeds to count some joint sales agreements towards local TV ownership caps, it would be an error. This is because Pai believes that the commission must treat broadband as a complement, not a replacement for broadcast use of the spectrum. His remarks came in a recent speech to the Media Institute. In it, Pai wants the FCC to loosen the local ownership rules and found it amazing that the proposal currently on the table would tighten them by adding the joint sales agreements and possibly shared service agreements. Pai pointed to a joint sales agreement between two stations in his home state of Kansas. There, a Univision affiliate and an Entravision affiliate were able to create the only Spanish-language newscast in the state. Another, he cited, was in Missouri between the broadcasters Nexstar and Mission that allowed for expanded news coverage. A joint sales agreement, sometimes known as a limited sales agreement, is an agreement in which one company agrees to operate a radio or TV station owned by another license holder. In essence, it's sort of a lease or time-buy arrangement. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline. Heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KC8 LMI repeater serving Aurelius, Michigan. An Internet Radio Summit is coming to Europe next month. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeff Clark, KHJAC, has the details.
Internet radio executives from across Europe will meet in Brussels on Thursday, May 23rd for the second annual RAIN Summit Europe. This is according to Kirk Hansen, who is the publisher of the RAIN Radio and Internet Newsletter. RAIN Summit Europe will take place at the Brussels Hotel Bloom. The conference will be a day-long event, including panels and presentations, speakers, and networking opportunities for European executives to consider the future of radio in the digital world. RAIN Summit conferences are educational and networking events for the internet radio and online audio industry. For the past decade, these summits have been presented several times each year in North America and featured top speakers and panelists from around the world. I'm Jeff Clark, KHJAC.
For those of you who may be wondering, these conferences are not in any way connected with Hap Holly, KC9RP's weekly RAIN report based in Chicago. Turning to regulatory enforcement, word that the commission has upheld a decision by the Enforcement Bureau and has ruled that Mount Rushmore Broadcasting owes $17,000 for violations of the agency's EAS and public file rules. Earlier, the Bureau denied the company's 2011 petition to reconsider the fine levied for failing to ensure the operational readiness of the station's EAS gear, also failing to maintain a complete public inspection file for stations, and failing to operate the studio-to-transmitter link from its licensed location. Now, in its final judgment in this matter, the full commission says that Mount Rushmore Broadcasting did not dispute the facts or that the violations took place. Rather, that the broadcaster only had substantially reiterated all of the arguments previously considered and rejected.